As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look for innovators that have set out to reshape entire industries. Legal cannabis is now one of the nation's fastest growing industries. The legal marijuana industry brought in $2.4 billion last year. That figure represents 74% increase year over year. And it's estimated that the total legal market, legal marijuana market, could be worth $11 billion as soon as 2019. Obviously, with numbers like that, many investors and entrepreneurs are beginning to gather. Two such people are experienced investor and managing director of Panther Capital, David Friedman, and founder of Canatopia, a social network for marijuana enthusiasts, Kurt Akers. I'm Scott Catoon, and let's start talking about tomorrow's business today. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So I never thought I would spend so much time on a WGN show talking about pot, or how to sell pot, for that matter. This is the second episode we've done on the cannabis, which I think speaks to how big of a market this is becoming and how important it is.
It's actually my third time on WGN talking about it.
So, again, one of the most conservative talks in the area, and yet we're talking about pot constantly. Yeah. So, hey, that's all right. I'm good with it. On one hand, we've got investors like you, David, who are looking at things from the standpoint of an investment opportunity and identifying opportunities. And the other, Kurt, we'll get into what you're doing, more of an ancillary side of this, and and companies that are popping up. That have nothing to do with the marijuana itself, but what goes on after that. David, why don't we kind of start with you? What drew you to this market?
Well, we've always been focused on early stage emerging markets, primarily early stage tech, because that's just where we felt the most opportunity. We're an opportunity fund, which essentially means we could do whatever we want as long as it's a good opportunity.
It's a good job.
But it was actually through an ex-girlfriend who's an investor in the company and still a good friend. Her son left Chicago to go to Colorado, graphic designer, went to work for a company in the industry. And we were just hanging out one day and she said, you know, you guys are always looking for new stuff. You need to figure out how to make us money in this marijuana business. And that was the start of it. And 30 days later, we were all in.
What were you previously? What was your normal investment prior to that?
It was almost all early stage tech.
Early stage tech.
I mean, we're looking for stuff that has a high degree of growth opportunity.
Sure. So do you see tech, the combination? There's a couple companies, one of the last guests we had on, Herbfront, which I know we've talked about before.
We know Matt, yeah.
And that's one of many. There's lots and lots of different angles to this, but there is sort of quote unquote pot tech.
Yeah.
And is that something that you're particularly interested in, or?
Sure. We're interested in anything. I say it all the time, but the marijuana industry is an industry of immigrants. We all came from somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Nobody grew up in this space. There's a few guys.
We're not going to hashtag that, by the way, because it's kind of a hot topic right now, the whole immigrants thing.
Fair enough.
Marijuana immigrants is hashtag.
We all know we came from somewhere else. We're coming to this with a certain degree of expertise from another industry, whether you're in technology or packaging or data or media or research or whatever it might be. That's what we're looking at is, there's opportunity in almost every sector of the industry. Doctors, lawyers, and, everything in between are all flocking into the industry to see how they can service the industry.
So as we start to dig in a little bit, one of the things that kind of came up, and I actually mentioned this to Kurt when I first met you, how do you see Philip Morris playing in this game? They just launched their first marijuana cigarettes. You don't see them playing in the game at all?
No, they actually didn't launch
marijuana cigarettes. That's not a real thing.
It's actually a hoax that's been floating around the internet and continues to reinvent itself.
I never get scammed.
I
think it came out in the industry. Came out last year.
Yeah, and it just
is that late?
Yeah, and then it recycled again.
They recycle it.
Do you think that they will get involved in this? I mean, do you think Philip Morris has a place? I mean, obviously they know the tobacco industry. If this becomes legal,
sure, they could. It's a long way off, though. Anything that is remotely close to a federally legislated industry can't go anywhere near this right now. And we don't know how long it's going to be before it becomes federally legal. But, Big Pharma is maybe more likely to go after it. Maybe the ag companies would be more likely to go after it. But it's got a long way to go before it's
mature. I certainly hope Big Pharma doesn't get involved. I mean, they're going to, of course.
They will, because it's medical marijuana is what's being legalized right now. Now, recreational is coming online in a few states, and there's more coming on next year. But the medical market, there's already the largest companies and the public side of the business are pharma companies. There's GW Pharmaceuticals out of the UK, which is a little over $1 billion market cap, you know, and there's a couple of other ones, Incest Therapeutics, and these are the guys that have the research dollars to get involved in the industry. There's no way to keep them out, you know.
Well, of course not. Yeah,
yeah,
they've got big money, big lobbyists. Like, you know, that you know where that's going.
Right.
And the fact that, like you mentioned, it's medical right now, so of course they're going to get the first. They have the most money,
right?
So they get the first first step in the door. But that doesn't change the fact that I just can't stand.
There's a lot of people with you, Scott. You know, I mean, from our perspective, we certainly want to see the industry grow responsibly, but we also want to see it grow. I don't think. It's never been advisable, in our opinion, to try and stand in front of progress, even if you don't like the progress.
Yeah.
You kind of got to get behind it.
Innovation 101.
Yeah.
Just go with it and try to adapt.
So hopefully the you know, the pharma companies will approach it in a manner that is, you know, reasonable for everybody else. But there will come a point in time where it'll get swallowed up by some big industry. I don't think big cannabis is going to exist in and of itself.
Sure.
There are too many other industries, you know, that are at force against it, or with it, that are going to swallow it up.
Well, I mean, I look at that and I think that's not exclusively, of course, but primarily is going to be on the side of the actual those who have hands on the plant.
Correct.
Yeah. Where you're going to see that. Then there's the ancillary size and there's all the other, you know, opportunities that pop
services,
up.
Right.
As an investor, what are some of those areas that you're looking at, and where do you see the forecasts looking?
So we span the spectrum. My division is focused on all ancillary businesses, and it's not because I'm afraid of the, you know, legislative risk or the fact that it's illegal. It's just I'm not a farmer, and I don't know how to do due diligence on a plant, and it's no different than anything else that I look at.
I can put you in touch with some people that
Well, you know, I have some experience around it, but not growing it, and everybody comes to me and says, yeah, we got the best, you know, premium oil. I mean, sitting in a room and smoking a joint is really not the best way to do due diligence when you're making an investment, and I really don't know
how else to
go about that. Now, there are guys who are scientists and things like that that are able to make those judgment calls, and so they focus on the plant. And through our parent company, MJIC Inc., we just made an investment in Willie's Reserve, which is Willie Nelson's brand.
Yep.
We're doing other things, but on my side, we focus strictly on the ancillary businesses because that's what we know. If we can't do due diligence and we don't have the resources to do the due diligence, then we can't make an educated investment. And you know, that's paramount to our investors.
Well, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, many of these investable companies, let's say, are growing in the non-contact industries,
right,
like Kurt with Canatopia. I mean, I guess tell us a little bit about Canatopia first, because I think it's an interesting, there's an interesting place there where you actually, with Canatopia, people take to it.
Mm-hmm.
There could be all of those, all the secrets you're looking for when you say, you know, to find out due diligence, to sit around smoking a joint might not be the way to go.
Right.
If you find sites like this who are pot enthusiasts, you might be able to learn what you're looking for and sort of dip your toes into that field.
Right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Canatopia?
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, Canatopia is a social network for users 21 and over in the cannabis industry. Our mission really is to reduce social stigmas and stereotypes around cannabis, whether it's you're a medical cannabis user or an of-age adult recreational user. We see our target audience being around the modern cannabis consumer. So these are your urban professionals, your coffee baristas, your 9-to-5 workers who are people that use cannabis but don't want to be associated with it on a Facebook or Twitter and have these same social interactions that they have in their current daily lives. So we want to give them a kind of a different area where they can go and do that and have the leave the discretion up to them on how they want to use a site like ours.
I can't imagine why I wouldn't want to post about my pot interests and misuse of medical marijuana on my Facebook page.
Yep.
It doesn't make sense to me. Well, I'll tell you what, though, knowing your story as I do, you're not a potzer. I used to call the kids in my high school when they smoked pot. They were potzers.
Yeah.
You're not a potzer. You're not a guy who is smoking pot on your, you know, really ever, pretty much.
Right.
So this mission for you is actually much more emotionally important to you. So why don't you share us a little bit with sort of the backstory on, you know, why you got into the marijuana business?
Yeah, so I got involved because my brother is actually an epileptic. He uses medical cannabis on a daily basis to kind of combat a lot of his nausea and the side effects he gets from all the pharmaceutical medications that he uses. So I've had a lot of firsthand experience with that, dealing with the issues he goes through on a daily basis. You know, with him, it really helps on the side effects side. It doesn't necessarily help with his epilepsy. It doesn't hurt his epilepsy. There's different, you know, scenarios around what happens with epileptics and cannabis. But that's the kind of the problems that federally with, you know, it being a Schedule I drug, that if that's get to reduce to a Schedule II drug, now we're able to find a little bit more research and help people like my brother.
Absolutely. So it's a good cause. I mean, you know, I guess, David, I'd pivot back to you. I mean, you look at a company like this. Could you have imagined, I mean, obviously you can imagine like forums and things where people would talk about pot. That's been around forever, just like guns and all kinds of stuff. But an actual website that's going up to talk about all the different other things you can do with marijuana and the different uses and things, that shows you exactly how like far reaching this market. It's not just, it's not like, you know, just like a rock and then here's your rock. And then after that, there's the guy who polishes it and the guy who cleans it, the guy who sells it. Now I've got people talking about it. What other particular businesses have you seen? You don't have to name the names of the companies, but businesses that you've seen that you were like, I never in my mind would have thought about that, but it's interesting to Panther Capital.
You know, it's a great question, and it's a different answer today than it was a year and a half ago when I started. Because when I started a year and a half ago, everything amazed me. Now nothing does, because I've realized that this is a wide open market, and it goes back to the whole immigrant theory in that everybody's coming in with some sort of a past, and everything, every piece of the infrastructure in this industry needs to be built. So nothing really surprises me anymore. You know, I see all kinds of companies and all kinds of people, and you know, whether it's a social media site, there's another site that is, Kurt and I talked, is probably looked at as the largest competitor, Massroots. I know that the founders very well. They're backed by Dutchess Capital. Doug Layton is a powerhouse in the industry. They've got a lot of money behind them. They're publicly traded now. They're trying to uplist to the NASDAQ, but they're focused. Isaac is 23 or 24 years old. I mean, these kids are right out of college, very, very bright, but their focus is that market. The bifurcation and the dissection of the market is still wide open for somebody like Kurt to step in and focus on a, you know, the market of my peers who are, I'm not on Massroots. I mean, I love the guys, but I'm not on there, you know. And so there's still plenty of opportunity, and, you know, nothing surprises me. But then again, you know, the more I learn, the less I know in this business. I mean, when I got into this, I think I smoked my first joint when I was 12 years old, right? But when I got into this business,
maybe you can now. Now you're perfect.
It ain't happening. Trust me. but when I got into this business, I learned that there's like 75 strains of marijuana. I mean, I know nothing about it, and so
I'm not a pot guy.
My brain is wide open to learning everything and hearing what everybody's ideas are, because you never know what you're going to find out.
I think that's one of the most exciting parts about the entrepreneurial journey and just being involved in investing in startups and things is half the stuff that comes in or comes my way, I've never heard of. I mean, I know like the most basic information that, you know, on the stuff. And then you get to start digging in, you're like, wow, I never in my life would have, like, I would have never spent, what are we at, almost 20 minutes talking about pot. I would never, like, that's just not my thing. But now I am, and I'm starting to get interested. And there's, particularly because of the reasons, like you said, Kurt, with the medical reactions, people with cancer treatment, chemo relief, glaucoma, all these other things. I guess, Kurt, the last thing I want to ask you about this is what do you think, if you could guess, once your site, and you're pre-launch, correct?
Yeah, we're pre-launch right
now.
So
once your site is up and running, what do you think are going to be the top uses for your site?
Probably around the social functions that we're incorporating, some of the cannabis features that we're developing right now to help users understand their experiences, as well as with the social interactions themselves. We go to different conferences, different events like Women Grow events, things in Vegas that are going on. There's a lot of in-person connections, a lot of, you know, in-person interaction, but that hasn't been elevated to a social perspective online. With people around my demographic and other people, they're looking for that kind of interaction and to be able to associate with that. So,
very cool. David, whether investing in or pitching to, how do people learn more about Panther Capital?
You can email me at david@cfoworldwide.com. We stay under the radar just because we are not lacking for deal flow. MJIC Media is david@mjicmedia.com. That's our media company within the cannabis space. So either of those emails will work, and we'll filter them through.
We'll get back to you maybe.
Yeah. Generally we do. We respond. I try to, you know, mentor as much as
Do you mentor at 1871 or somewhere else? I know I've seen.
Yeah, 1871 for a couple of years. I've been on sabbatical because I drew the short straw and have to both run the capital company, and I'm the CEO of the MJIC media company as well. So I just was running thin on time, but I'm going to step back in over at 1871 after the first of the year and mentor again.
Very cool. Welcome back. You're at 1871 company.
Yes,
Kurt,
we are.
So, Kurt, where do people go to follow and join Canatopia, and when does it go launch, or when do you think it's going to launch?
Well, you can join us at canatopia.com. That's Canatopia with a K. We expect to have a beta launch kind of at the end of this month or early next month. You can also find us at our first Canop Tech meetup, which is going to be hosted at 1871 on December 7th. So if you're looking
I just signed up for that.
Yep.
With Zach?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're looking to get more interested around that.
Small industry.
Yep. Come visit
us. Smallest big city you've ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to David and Kurt and your amazing sponsors at Insperity. You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV. Stream us on the WGN Plus app. Download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom. That's a wrap. And now, your coachable moments brought to you by the Happy Hour coach, Tim Ressmeyer, the official coach of Tomorrow's Business Today on WGN+.
Nothing amazes me now. That's the comment that David made about his experience within the cannabis industry and his investment in it. Started out, everything amazed him, and now nothing does. It's fascinating to see this industry growing and how the people who are getting involved in it are making themselves successful as well as helping grow the business. Kurt, in this segment, spoke about his motivation for working in it, is his brother with epilepsy, and he's seen the real-life application of medical marijuana and how that serves him. There are so many ways that we can, as we step into these emerging industries, make a difference in our world. And here are a couple guys who are doing it through the investment side as well as through the social media side. Topics that are often a stigma or we want to stay away from are actually very helpful to pursue. And I love that quote that marijuana is an industry of immigrants. There's so much opportunity there for people with creativity, with confidence, and with commitment to step into these emerging businesses and to go ahead and make a difference. This is Tim Ressmeyer, the Happy Hour Coach with Coachable Moments.